The gospel text this morning comes from the gospel according to John. I read for you John chapter 16, beginning with the 12th verse. John 16, 12. Listen for the word of God for you this day. Jesus is speaking. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The vast, very vast majority of self-proclaimed Christians in this country have the same initial problem. They don't realize it. If you tell them that it's a problem, they don't agree. They therefore don't try to fix it. No, to the vast, vast majority of American Christians, they actually consider themselves just lucky. It's a problem that unites them. It's a problem that influences how they congregate, how they celebrate, how they mark calendars and gather in families and tribes. And if you tell them they're in need of something that could fix their problem, they'll argue with you. Sometimes they'll fight with you. Sometimes they'll call you names for even suggesting that they have a problem, let alone that one. And the problem goes on. We have entered a political season that is playing itself out in gatherings across the country. Gatherings that are drastically different from political seasons in decades past. Regardless of which side of the political agenda you find yourself with, we who watch those gatherings on TV all agree that the political situation shown by bad behavior is escalating, and it does not show our best side. And the problem goes on. The problem is that we were born into Christianity. The problem is that we self-identify as Christians because we were raised to call ourselves that. The vast, vast majority of American Christians don't attend any church, don't read any version of Scripture, don't learn Bible verses in context, don't ask clarifying questions of any other American Christians who do attend church or read Scripture in context or study the Word. The problem is that the vast, vast number of American Christians think they know Christianity and what it is and when it works and how it's practiced. And because they think they know, they don't. They misquote Scripture and then stick to it. Because they think they know and they don't, they begin arguments and throw punches and intimidate. They bully, insult, and sometimes terrorize other Americans, all in the name of Christianity they think they know. But they don't. These Americans are spreading false understandings. But because they were born into their title, they don't think they need to know the specifics. They don't have to study the word or even hear the word more than once or twice a year. They think they got Christianity from the cards they receive every Christmas, or the day off from work on Good Friday. They got Christianity when they heard the Ten Commandments. They got Christianity when they saw others in different religions who dressed funny, or had no Christmas trees, or didn't encourage their children to find hidden eggs on the day our Savior rose. They believe they should speak up because obviously God wanted them to be Christians. And I truly don't want that to happen to you. I'm truly glad that you're all here this Sunday morning, here to learn, not necessarily from me, but to learn from those who spent time in God's Word, studied, deciphered, and clarified God's Word, applied God's Word to daily living and difficult situations, that you try week after week to listen to Jesus' teachings, even if they are in the form of parables, that you listen to hear what Jesus said and also what Paul and Peter and John and James said. And you know which one of those words is Jesus' words. So today, we will follow the lectionary readings and we will focus on the Trinity. We will speak of the Trinitarian God. And when you leave here, my hope is that you will get it. Some of you don't think you have to understand the Trinity. You're good right where you are. You know it's three persons. You know it's how God wants you to think of her, or him, or God, however that works. But I'd rather that you know. And I'd rather that you know, rather than you think that you know, and that's enough for you, because I can assure you it's not. It was in the very early church that Christians began to articulate the doctrine of the Trinity. According to this doctrine, there is one God in whom there are three persons. See, you already knew that part. Who share one substance. And when they identified the Trinity, they wondered if it was right to address God with such gender-specific terms as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Might it be more inclusive to substitute a more generic set of names, such as Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer? Interesting. Maybe for another sermon. But no matter where or how you come out of that debate, Christians recognize a Trinitarian structure that defines both the prayers and the proclamation of the church. But, and here it is early in the sermon, so get this, but even if I say I believe in the Trinitarian formula that's used to identify God, I must still address the question of how these persons are related. And that's because Christianity is different from every other religion throughout the world in this one very profound way. You ready? Christianity is about a relationship. Let me say that again. Christianity is about a relationship. Hinduism is a religion that emphasizes freedom from the material world through a purification of human desires. Probably a good idea. A powerful way to focus one's life. Buddhism is a set of beliefs and traditions based on the teachings of Buddha. Excellent teachings, applicable teachings, life-affirming teachings. Judaism is the monotheistic religion of the Jewish people. They believed in one God. And of course, we know that it was this religion that Jesus himself practiced. A Muslim is a person who follows the religion of Islam, a positive, God-focused religion revealed through Muhammad, a prophet of Allah. Christianity is a relationship, and the relationship exists in many places. The most obvious is our relationship to Jesus and his relationship to us. It's also Jesus' relationship to God and God's relationship to Jesus and God's relationship to us. And of course, it's the relationship with the Holy Spirit, too. So yes, we might refer to God in three ways by saying creator, redeemer, sustainer, but those are functions. True, but limited. Because God is more than that. And Jesus is more than that. And the Holy, well, you get the idea. It's like saying the word mother. She's a nurturer, but she's more than that. She's a guide, but she's more than that. She's the person who gave birth, but she's more than that. But when you or I tell someone that our mother has died, the listener doesn't need to know what kind of mother she was. It's enough to say that the listener understands that my mother was many things to me and I to her, because we shared a relationship, she and I. Likewise, God is many things to me, and I, hopefully, to God. God showed up on earth to find people, and the best way to find people and draw them in is to look like them, to sound like them, to act like them. So God appeared as Jesus. Jesus is God, but he's more than that. And God is Jesus, but more than that. And when Jesus left this world to return to his rightful place in the lineup of the deity, he left behind a part of himself whom he called the Holy Spirit. Holy, because the Spirit is also the deity, but more than that. Spirit, because it's the very breath of Jesus and God, but more than that. And the three persons of the Trinity are also in relationship with one another. So they model the Trinitary and how it works and that it works. So I may have use of it more often than when I just need a quick saying or a quick teaching that might apply to whatever it is that I'm experiencing, because I need more than that. And Christianity gives me more. Christianity gives me the parable or the teaching about God and also the deity who remains with me. Buddhism gives me the teachings, good teachings, yes, but no relationship with Buddha except that he thought it up. Muslim also has good wisdom and teachings, and they also have a human person at the top, a leader, an example, a prophet, but not a deity. And here's the big part. Here's the part that the vast, vast majority of American Christians don't get. In order for you to say that you comprehend the Trinity, you have to get this part. Jesus gives us truth. Jesus, in human form, with human speech and human experiences, so that we could relate, Jesus gave us truth that points to him. See, our Western culture lifts up, makes important, glorifies the individual. God is for me. Jesus loves me, this I know. Such individualism prompts people to evaluate nearly every experience and every relationship in terms of what it does for me. Marriages flounder because of the perceived needs of one or both partners not being met. People stay or leave careers because the money's not good enough for me, or the path is not the path I wanted to follow. People even choose churches on the basis of how the congregation's program, worship style, preacher, or property's location fit their individual tastes and desires. The relational model points to how the truth will glorify Christ, a much more adequate criterion for evaluating any decision in life. Jesus always communicated in a way that pointed to God. And in describing the work and the purpose of the Spirit, the Advocate, who would remain with us, Jesus assured us that the Holy Spirit would communicate in such a way as to point people to Christ. The Trinity is in relationship with each other to show us how to be in relationship with them and how to recognize that this is the one true God experience. And God is more than that. God is one and God is three. God is wisdom and God is love. God is creator and God is sustainer. God is grace and God is ruler. God is now and God is forever. God has been and God will be. God is alive and God is designing. God has always been and God continues to be even now. God is ancient and God is new. And God is more than that. You are not Christians because you were born into it. You were born into it, but more than that. You chose it. You studied it. You tried to understand it and articulate it and live it. And you don't beat up people who look different or dress different or don't believe what you believe because you try to live your Christianity in a way that points to other people and points to the grace of the Trinitarian God. O Lord, my Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Friends, you have heard the word proclaimed. You have sung God's words in the hymns that you sang.